B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Some conflicting information on DeSean Jackson in Tampa Bay. He went on Instagram and also Twitter saying his goodbye to Tampa Bay. I'm out. Diana Russini tweets that the sources she spoke with in Tampa Bay say they did not cut DeSean Jackson. So the people who run things in Tampa Bay say, we didn't cut him. DeSean Jackson is saying goodbye to Tampa Bay. So obviously there's a disconnect there somewhere. Are they trading DeSean Jackson? Is he being traded? Is that what's going on there? That would be one way that everyone's right.
It's got to be, right?
That would be the one way that everyone there is right, that both DeSean Jackson's being honest, I'm leaving Tampa Bay, and they're saying we didn't cut him. Well, are you trading him? Did you trade him?
Who's our quarterback again?
I don't know. I mean, Jameis Winston is their guy, but I mean, I don't think that's a.
You got the paint drinker there. You drink the paint.
Bruce Arians. Yes.
Winston chimes in on this.
What?
DeSean Jackson and the Eagles are destined for each other, barring something unforeseen.
Who said this?
Mort.
Huh. Mort would know.
Oh, so the Eagles are going to add more money to their payroll again?
Yeah.
After already adding $20 million today to next year's payroll?
Boom.
All right, get out of here with that. They're shedding payroll, and that's why they traded Michael Bennett.
Do you think...
Nothing blew up today.
Yeah, do you think Philly ran all over this? Do they do the math like we do? Like, okay, subtract one, add the other.
I'm pretty sure they're competent on the math front
cap
in
issue,
Philly.
Okay, good. Is Howard Eskin, he all over this? I don't know. Maybe.
I like chocolate and vanilla.
Yeah. Come on back. We'll give you number 10 again. Wait a minute. What's Wentz wear? Wentz wears 11.
Some more money. Nothing reported signed, but Jane Slater, NFL Network, says Earl Thomas wants 2 years, $30
million. Say it again. Say it again.
One more time.
Say it again.
Earl Thomas wants 2 years, $30 million.
Good luck.
Oh,
that's a good
nice
one.
Nice little old player there.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Brooker Lake, how many times? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God. $15 million for him.
I don't think so.
Nice player.
I don't think he's going to get that.
I'd rather pick Cam Chancellor.
Good try, though. Hey, good try.
That's funny.
You know what? I want to
That's
pull.
Funny.
I
good
want
for
pull
you.
Yeah,
good
please.
For you. Yeah.
12 months ago, if you said... Trent Brown's going to get 4 years, 66, or Earl Thomas is going to get 2 for $30.
Trent Brown.
You would have said, who's Trent Brown?
You would have said, wow, Earl Thomas is going to get paid that kind of money? That's crazy. Who's going to give him that? That's what we would have said.
I thought he's washed
up
after
12 months ago. Things change rapidly
mentally,
in this league.
Mentally, he was done when he broke his leg.
It's a good reminder how fast things change in the NFL.
Sure is.
Is what it is. Speaking of change, is Trey Flowers changing teams? Because the reports are he's going to get some crazy offers. And naturally, a lot of people have said Miami would be a fit, Detroit would be a fit, former coaches of his, and teams with rebuilds going on and money to spend.
I mean, now's the time for movement, too, for the money standpoint. And how about Jeff Howell with that OBJ thing, saying that he's still potentially being... That's like a howitzer right there.
So with
like
Trey Flowers... Bomb,
that's a howitzer.
With Trey Flowers, we've all assumed that. Okay, Miami, that'd be a great fit there, as would Detroit, and teams with money to spend are going to look at Trey Flowers. The best available player, according to some, including Pro Football Talk. Best available player out of all the free agents in the NFL. You know Mike Reese. We all trust Mike Reese.
Yeah.
One of the more informed reporters in the entire NFL.
Is he alive today or anything?
Well, Mike Reese had this last night on WBZ TV, Channel 4, doing the late show with Rochi.
Oy.
He had something on Trey Flowers that I think should catch everybody's
Let's
ear
hear it.
When it comes to possible landing spots. And it's not about who he adds or considers. It's who Mike Reese seems to rule out in all of this.
We'll begin with Trey Flowers.
Yeah, I think it's all going to depend on what market is out there for him. I don't think Miami will be in it, but whether it's Detroit, maybe Tennessee.
Hold on, stop. Wait, what?
Why?
Miami's not in it?
Why wouldn't they be?
Since when? I don't think Miami will be in it, says Mike Reese.
What Roche said? Roche say why? Roche should have jumped up. Whoa, whoa. Why?
Stop.
Why do you say that?
Stop speaking, Mike. I have an interrupting question for you. Why? What happened to Miami? All right, more from Reese.
I don't think Miami will be in it, but whether it's Detroit, maybe Tennessee, other teams with ties to the Patriots, maybe that ups the price. Reminds me a lot of McCourty and Hightower when they went out to market. Let's see how it unfolds.
Your gut tell you?
I think he could be back. I don't think the door is closed. I know a lot of people think the door is closed after Bennett, but I don't think so. Not yet.
Mike Reese thinks he could be. I wonder what Mike Reese's number is. Is Mike Reese's number 16?
Now, wait a minute.
What's his number? So
Mike Reese did that at midnight last night. Prior to the legal tampering period beginning when all this money started firing around. I wonder if Mike's opinion on that has changed based on the money it's thrown.
All right, but not only that, he rules out Miami. He doesn't think, and, you know, he's obviously not saying there's no chance, but he doesn't believe Miami will be a player for him.
You guys think my backdoor deal is crazy now?
What do you mean?
Remember I said to you last week, Flora is going in the division.
Oh,
leaving
team. Yeah.
Maybe it's like, listen, we'll let you have all these assistant coaches.
That's, Jim came
don't
up
touch
that
Flores.
Last week. You're right. You're
I mean,
right.
Don't touch Flowers.
Don't touch Flowers. You are not to go after Flowers. Mm.
I give it Wednesday morning. If we don't hear anything about Flowers by Wednesday morning, I'll feel real confident he's coming back. Because if guys don't sign week one, they don't get this kind of money.
If you don't
not only that.
No, no,
it's,
no. If you don't sign first day.
It's if there's no smoke, right? I mean, you get the smoke before these big deals. You got it this morning on Ian Rappaport saying, well, the Raiders would be a really good fit for Trent Brown. Right? Is that smoke before the fire that you sense? If you don't start hearing any of those rumors, it's because when they're talking to Trey Flowers, teams are quick to figure out, is this guy really looking to go somewhere in free agency? Or is he just trying to up his money back in New England? They figure that. I will say the NFL and GMs are pretty good at figuring that crap out.
Part of the equation, too, is the teams at the top of the draft, there's like six stud defensive end pass rushers at the top of this draft. So those teams might not be looking because they know they can get somebody in the first 10, 12 picks in the draft. That might eliminate those teams right there.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Deep draft, as Jim just said, at the position. I mean, no team is thrilled to be spending $18 million on a player. Nobody gets excited about that part of it. They get excited about getting the player and landing the player. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I think the fact that if Miami is out of it and they're not going to make a real bid, that only helps the Patriots' chances of keeping him. We'll see what happens out there in Detroit. But I can say this. Hardy mentioned it earlier. It's easier to go to a bad team if it's in Miami. It's harder to go to a bad team if it's in Detroit.
Yes.
And not only that, when you look at the two situations of Flores and you look at the situation of Matt Patricia in Detroit, the situation with Flores is already exponentially more stable than what you've got in Detroit.
He's gonna
that coach could be out of there in less than a year.
Yep, he's going to get more. He's going to get more of a chance to establish himself, meaning a 3 to 4 year window till they really look hard at the evaluation. Plus, it's something when you step off a plane down there. It's the cocoa butter. It's the humidity that hits you in your face right when. As soon as you get off the plane, you're like, oh, there's a tarmac. But there's that little gap between where that, you know, that stanchion connects against the plane where you can see the sunshine or, oh, there's a peak of a palm tree. And everything smells better here. Everybody's healthier. Ooh, I like it here. Detroit? Awful. Sorry, Hardy. But, I mean, there's nice areas. Not the same impression when you get off the airport in Detroit.
No.
Nice airport.
Different.
Very nice airport.
Different vibe. I mean,
Greg Olsen had told his coach, Ron Rivera, that he wanted to continue playing football. According to a report from Sheena Quick.
Oh, Sheena.
She's a beat writer out of Charlotte, covers the Panthers. Source tells me Greg Olsen is taking the ESPN job. During the combine, Ron Rivera said that Olsen told him, he wants to keep playing football. That was before the Jason Witten news, though. They might. Are they suggesting they're going to take Jason Witten out and plug Greg Olsen in? One tight end for another?
He was one of the leading candidates in all the media reports after Witten left.
He's good. He's quick-witted.
No, I know. I've seen him do interviews and do some other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of a sudden, Olsen, McFarland, the oddball of that trio is Tessitore.
Beetle, you might be right on this where you have to blow out Tessitore. Did you say that last week?
Yeah.
If they're going with Olsen and McFarland together, then Tessitore is definitely, unless he plays the straight man role.
It's a shame NBC swiped up Tirico. Tirico would have been perfect for that role. Mm-hmm. Would have been damn perfect for it.
He's got a better job at NBC, though.
I know.
And I think Tirico's in line to do Sunday Night Football when Al is done.
Yep.
So that's why he went there.
Yeah.
That's why he went to the
the Bruins last night.
Went to the Peacock. Yeah, he did. Syracuse guy.
Peacock.
You know, they're real versatile when it comes to the play-by-play duties. What are you saying?
It's Peacock.
Yeah, the Peacock.
Oh, the NBC Peacock.
Yeah, like, see, NBC Sports?
Yeah.
The Peacock.
Oh, the Peacock. It's right there over Hardy's shoulder. Don't be peacocking around.
Just say Peacock three more times to get it out of your system. Two more.
Better than that.
You want to.
I'm better.
I'm better than that.
But you're not.
I'm not going to do it.
But you're not.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bow, 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 bow. 617-779-0985. Jason and Lowell's got a Celtics thought. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Been on a hold for 2 hours. It's great hearing about the...
Oh, sorry.
Was it really that long?
Sorry, bud.
Yeah, it's all good.
Hey,
I was sitting here with speakerphone listening and watching you guys.
That's good. Carry it to the break here. Nice.
So I had a lot of time to think about what I was going to say.
Right. So did you forget it, what you were going to say? Or did you stack your thoughts or so?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I tried to, but then once you get on the phone, it doesn't really matter because it all goes out the window.
Pressure.
So I read something that Chris Gasper wrote about, you know, how the Celtics have been lately. And he kind of said exactly how I've been feeling. It's like we get on them when they're not playing well, which is understandable. But when they're playing great, why not talk about how great they're playing instead of on Kyrie and how bad he is and everything else? And I just think that...
Is that what Gasper wrote? Is he bellyaching about that?
No. I can't read you everything he wrote, but I'm just saying I'm generalizing it in a few words, is that basically enjoy it while it's lasting, because we don't know what Kyrie is going to do July 1st. So instead of bitching about, you know, what's he going to do, is he going to leave, and having fans saying, just go to New York when they're not playing well. You know, just enjoy it when they are playing. We know what this team is capable of. We've seen it. They're lethal when they're playing well. So, and the other thing is like Rozier saying that, you know, it's Kyrie's attitude that, you know, makes them play better. Why does it need to be somebody's attitude to get you to play better? If he wants to be a starter, why doesn't he go out there and play like it? You know, why do you need somebody's attitude to make you play better? It's the NBA, you know? It's not high school.
Okay, so who are you putting that on, the media or his teammates? I don't know what the argument is.
No, I'm putting it on his teammates.
Okay, then that's fair. That's fair.
No, but the media part of it, I'm not going to lie, it has gotten out of hand. I just try to, you know, me personally, I know what this team is going to be like if Kyrie walks away. I don't want that.
I'm with you.
You know, I don't want it, but a lot of fans do, and I don't get why, after seeing how they've been playing on the road right now, because we haven't worked sure how they were going to play on the road, and they have turned the corner. I don't care if they got in the ring in the plane and put on boxing gloves and duped it out. When you hash out things for a six-hour plane ride, and you know, grievances, maybe things did turn the corner up in the air. I don't know, but instead of like complaining about it, why don't we just enjoy it when they are playing well? And then maybe instead
no one's complaining about it. Oh my God. Let's stop there. No one's complaining about it. Who's complaining about the fact that they all got on the same page on that flight? Nobody.
Now, I think he's going back to a Gaspar article that may have been written after
the
one fan.
Take that up with Gaspar. He's on Fridays and Saturdays.
Thank you. The fan that yelled, "Hey, Kyrie, go to New York." That's sort of, I think, what he's talking about. Like, why you got to get on him? And then they play well and we don't say anything. And everything. He was on hold for a while. He got a little.
That's why I let him go with it for 2.5 minutes. But here's the deal. Is it sort of a sad commentary that Kyrie tells everyone, listen, as Bill Simmons put it, he told everyone I was a dick. That's what Bill Simmons said on his podcast. So if that's what it took to get everyone on the same page, was Kyrie saying, I'm sorry for acting this way, you know, held himself accountable to his teammates, and then they all got on the same page and had good conversations and games of Uno and Bure and everything else that was in the Athletic story.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yes, you could sit there and say, why did it take that, guys, for you to play well and to play to the best of your ability? And by the way, we're only three games into it, and it's three games where the competition wasn't exactly great. So let's see if it stands the test of time, too. They've done this for three games.
To say we're not talking about it just because they're winning is wrong, because we would be talking about it if today wasn't day one of NFL free agency. Do you know what I mean?
How can you say the competition wasn't great?
It hasn't been great. I mean,
Golden State?
Golden State.
At Golden State?
Played like dog crap.
Without Klay Thompson.
The Celtics ran away with it. Now, their level of play has clearly changed. My only thing is, Hardy, what happens when they get into a dogfight with a good team? What if Golden State had shown up that night? I think everything in sports.
Part of the reason why Golden State didn't show up is because they went out there and played so well, and they broke them early. And look, I understand Klay Thompson not being in there.
They've got some issues that are going on there, do they not?
Who's the best team?
Kevin Durant then went to the podium and called out his head coach after the game. The coach last night is publicly calling out Draymond Green. I mean, it's sort of a...
Okay, up until 3 days ago. There. Up until 3 days ago, who do you pick to win the NBA championship this season?
Golden State, and I still think that can happen.
Okay.
I'm not rolling out.
Just don't say it was bad competition.
It wasn't great competition in that game.
The Lakers had some no-name guys out. They had nobody on the floor.
Lakers was garbage. That was stupid. But I give them credit for the win against Golden State, and credit for the win the next night in the second night of back-to-backs without Kyrie. I give him credit for both those wins.
Sacramento, to me, is actually a good win for not having Kyrie, the back-to-back element for Gordon Hayward.
They're both good wins. That Lakers
having a bad foul, which,
Lakers
again, borderline call and a rule that sort of sucks, but came right back down the floor, hit a shot. No, I just think anything in sports, this is an overarching policy. For me,
all right.
You really learn about teams when they're tested. You learn about teams when they, coaches, players, and teams, when they face adversity.
But you refuse to recognize this as a test when they're playing so poorly and they're sniping at each other. They have to go on a 4-game Western road trip starting with the Golden State Warriors. They pummel them. They beat them by 33 points. And all of a sudden, well, that's not a test because Golden State didn't show up. You're moving the goalposts.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You said,
no, I'm not.
How is that not a test? How is not a 4-game trip out west not a test based on how
that
team have been played up
until that
point?
Be tested more than they have been in the last three games.
Yeah.
They will.
Yes, but this has been a test starting with Golden State and back-to-backs to start this trip. That in and of itself is
But
a
I think
test.
The test is their own issues that they're working through, not anybody else's. Not any real great stiff competition. Their issues have been their own internally that they have had to overcome.
Okay.
And they've overcome them in the last three games.
Okay.
And it appears that whatever went on that flight was a very positive thing. I'm not taking any of this away from them. We don't know yet if it's going to stand up and last through the end of the season.
No,
we don't know if it's going to carry
not, but
over.
Right now,
you might have them all griping and whining about Kyrie being in a bad mood on a given day.
But at this moment, you can't convince me that it hasn't trended in the right direction over the last week.
Of course not.
Yeah.
They need to win. They need to win.
We spent the whole show after that Golden State game talking about how great we thought that was. And it was.
Yeah. The next night, I thought, you guys are like, ooh, they beat a bunch of kids.
They've had nothing but positive outcomes on this trip. The only question now is, does it last? Do we look at that?
Fouled them.
This is the question now. D- Did the flight change them for a week, or did it change them for the rest of the season? That's what we need to find out. Time will tell. It's called sports.
We'll find out and
find out when we watch.
And Kyrie apparently was like apologizing to everybody. And like, I'm not handling this well. I'm sorry. I'm not doing this. He said, I've been a dick.
He says funny.
He does.
Chad's in Medford on Trent Brown. What's up, Chad?
A few things, Bill. Yeah, Trent Brown. I mean, Dante, I'll give him credit. He's dynamite with usually. But, I mean, Trent Brown was 6'8", what, 400? And Von Miller said he was the best tackle he went up against to him when he was with San Fran. I mean, he was working with something. You know what I mean? He didn't have nothing to work with. We'll see how he does with that friggin' fat guy from Georgia. But on the receiver thing, you think I was going to ask Zoe with what they got for Brown. I wonder if that'll help with what they're going to ask for the Giants for OBJ. Maybe we can get him for a first-round pick. It's the last pick of the round. I think that'd be a good trade. I'd take OBJ, definitely.
Take OBJ by giving up the 32nd pick overall.
32 for Odell Beckham Jr.
For that player, I'd do it.
I think anybody would.
Yeah. Goes to show you what the market is really for guys in trades now. You're not flipping people for first-round picks anymore. You really aren't. The only one, Khalil Mack, got two. What did the Raiders do? They traded away a cornerstone defensive player. Did you see Tom Curran's tweet recently about the two Browns? He said the Raiders are going to want a redo on a contract for a Brown in 2 years. It ain't going to be Antonio. Curran down on Trent.
Now that he's out the door?
Well, that could be part of it.
Isn't that the Patriot way?
Maybe you hear some things. And...
Sorry, the Patriot fan way.
He's a fan, right?
Hey, you got what you needed out of him for a year.
Both. He got what he needed. You got what you needed. You really did. Your rookie that you drafted in the first round.
I asked you like a month ago, who would you pay if you could only pay one, Trent Brown or Trey Flowers? You initially said Trent Brown. And I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Because I think about a kid of 41, perfect guy to move going on from. 42. You know, yeah, Jesus. At some point, it's catching up, man.
So are you worried now? That was your initial thought. Oh, you can't let him go because Brady's getting older. No. You got to protect him.
Nope.
In Dante, I trust.
Yeah, in Dante, I trust. Yeah.
They spent a first-round pick on Isaiah Wynn a year ago. Time for Isaiah Wynn to step up.
God, I'd love to get that guy on a truth meter. Dante Scarnick.
In Dante, I trust. Andrew in Medford. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Couple of football questions for you. First of all, one guy that I haven't heard a lot about who I liked was Devin Funchess. Last I heard, he's not going to be a Panther next year.
6'4", 4.5". You could cut down his splits. Play a little bit of, third tight end if you need him to get in down tight. I think he can handle that. I've seen some stuff on that.
Essentially. I mean, I'd love to see another big receiver on the Patriots. I love Edelman, but... I'd like a little bit of size.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Anything about that.
That's why you have Josh Gordon.
My other question is, I don't really understand why so many Patriots fans want Odell Beckham so bad. I just feel like that kind of player doesn't really fit in the system. It's not really conducive to how the Patriots win. I just don't understand it.
Because it's OBJ.
Because of the talent. That's why. Because he's ridiculously talented.
And because how good the Raiders think they got in matter of 2 days by acquiring Antonio Brown. Like, I think if things are right and their heads are in it, I think Antonio Brown's a better receiver. I do. I just think he's more dynamic. I think he's better at the top of his route. I think he's a better route runner. I think he's great in a return game. OBJ's damn good. He's right there. It's right there. 1-2. 1A, 1-2, 1, whatever you want to, however you want to rank him. But I just think Brown has just lost his freaking mind. But he doesn't care about winning anymore. He doesn't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Solak and Bertrand. Your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up? What's up?
With Solak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Grapple fires down the middle. For Bennett on the money. And on time. Touchdown, Patriots. Looks to the right. Throws it for a wide open Bennett. Touchdown, Patriots. Play fake for Brady. Stands and fires down the middle. For Bennett. Makes the catch at the 45. Spins back to the inside at the 50. Catch by Bennett and 40. Martellus to the 50. Breaks away from two defenders. Right sideline 40. And he shoves Thomas to the ground. Right on the right side, there's a wide open receiver. Martellus Bennett has the 10 to the 5. Bump toward the pylon. Reaching for a touchdown.
I don't get the connection.
There's also that rumor that the Patriots could bring
serious?
Martellus Bennett back. You don't really know the connection here?
Would you lose your mind on that bus?
Martellus Bennett dancing with the cheerleaders to this song.
Were you here in 2016?
The AFC Championship?
He was prepping getting on the bus. He was still in bus mode. They were going through
the
Super
drive
Bowl.
For five. You're right.
Drive for five bus.
He's blocked out the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl.
All he did was dance. He danced for like 10 minutes post-game.
Pom-poms.
Down on the field?
Yes.
We
yes!
played the song maybe 5,000 times on the
Every
show.
Time we played it for Martellus Bennett.
Huh. It's like a blind spot
wow.
in my memory.
It is. This is awesome.
Clearly is.
This usually happens to me. We're like, at least momentary lapses of reason. You have one now.
Oh, key change.
Nice. Look at this video. Pictures. This went on for 10 minutes post-game. While they're getting the trophy presentation ready. He just went, the cheerleaders grabbed it, and they just danced. It was on a Jumbotron. The whole place was going nuts. Hmm.
I missed it.
You're probably, talking to Fred about the bus. He missed that? You missed
Well,
the,
now you know.
The parade you missed.
There's a picture of it. In
all
case
of our
you
stuff
forgot.
Right there over
right
his
there,
shoulder.
Right there.
Take a look.
Right there. Yep. There you go.
Dad, no recollection of
it. Oh,
that.
Okay.
Wow. All right. I would love to forget something like that, like you just did.
Hmm. And now you remember.
Pretty cool.
Maybe. 617-779-0985. Barbara's in Beverly. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, guys. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi, what's Barbara.
Hi. How are you doing?
Did you do any modeling over the weekend?
No,
you should have never told him that. You should have never told him that piece of information, Barbara.
Long time ago. But at any rate, I wanted to ask you guys a couple questions, all right?
Sure.
First of all, I think Trey Flowers is coming back because I think that the couple million less they're going to give him is not as important as him going for a ring, and I think he likes Belichick, and I think he likes Brady and all his teammates. And I think he kind of puts that a little bit first. I don't know. Maybe it's me just being naive.
I mean, I agree with you in a sense, but he's been to three straight. He's won two. He's already got two rings. Mm-hmm. And when you're at that age that he's at, I don't know how many contracts you have left. He's got a, as you can see, I mean, there is crazy money out there, and he's got a chance to get it today.
Yeah, you're right about the crazy money. I know. That's
hey, Trent Brown's making $16 million a year, okay?
That, to me, was ridiculous. I mean, the only reason he's good is because of Dante Scarnecchia. I'm sorry. That's what I think. I mean, he came in overweight.
Yeah, but the kid played hard. He did.
I
could sit here, and I can't come up with many games other than what Beatles said, too, and he's right. That Pittsburgh game, probably a little bit down in, was it Tennessee, where he was having, he had a sickness, and he kept had to keep going to get an IV?
Yeah, he did.
And he had some issues, but, I mean, other than the other 14, that was he played his ass off. I thought he did.
Yeah, he did. But I think Oakland's a little crazy with the checkbook, and I just don't see them. I don't know. I don't respect them very much anyway. But at any rate, the thing I really wanted to ask you about is, do you think the coaches leaving here and not being successful has anything to do with Bill Belichick running the team ultimately? Because he ultimately says what goes and what doesn't.
Yeah, I think he has a heavier fist, so to speak. You know, I know Matt Patricia has tried to do some of that in Detroit, and it's backfired on him. I mean, everybody's different. See, I think Brian Flores really has a shot here. I really do. Because Belichick and Brady aren't going to be here forever. If Flores could survive the first 4 years, it'd be like Mike Tomlin, be there for 10 years, 10 years plus. Because it's South Florida. You're always going to have that draw. They got money. They've spent. And they'll sign guys to crazy contracts. So he's going to be able to be in on free agents. And if he could prove that his defense could be stingy and aggressive like they were last year here, defenders
stingy?
Will... Stingy? Stingy.
Stingy?
Stingy. No, they want to sting you. Zap you. Stingy.
Okay.
Why don't you go watch Bennett videos of him dancing, okay?
No, I looked at Artie.
Are you back? You in this segment? You good?
Stingy defense?
He said it three other times today. I'm surprised it's the first time you picked up on it.
Like, I've never used that word before, stingy?
All the time. And Tom and I look at each other every single time.
And it's not stingy. It's
with the
stingy.
Defense I've heard.
Stingy.
I know. I just assumed it was stingy.
Two
like
things.
Hardy.
It's not stingy,
no, not stingy.
And it's not stingy.
No, stingy. Stingy.
It's like stingy.
We had hit our limit on assuming it was stingy. And now we want to know more about stingy.
Right. The hard G. Because a lot of people would say stingy. Stingy.
I have another question about the Patriots, sort of playing off of what Barb said. Who the hell's going to be on this coaching staff?
Well, that's Barb's point.
They
doesn't
don't
matter.
Have staff right now.
Does it matter?
McDaniel, Shiano, Belichick. Here's Belichick.
It does matter.
Belichick.
It does matter. Belichick. And I'll tell you why it matters.
Belichick.
It does matter, Hardy, because even though these guys may not make great head coaches elsewhere, there are a lot of guys that do a lot of work on the staff.
I agree. But
they need bodies.
Josh McDaniels is still here. Dante Scarnecchia is still here. Everyone seems to be okay so far.
So
defensively,
you have a total of two coaches on the staff, one of which I don't think has been officially announced. Greg Schiano's...
Steve Belichick's the senior member of the defensive staff right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
One of two guys currently on the staff. Schiano... Steve Belichick.
See, and what type of defense are they going to run? Now, McCourty was on that Quick Slants podcast, right, Jim, where he said, you know, when we were at Rutgers, now Rutgers is different. This isn't the pro. This is the pros here. We felt like we blitzed almost every play. Like, they went after people. So what is Schiano going to do? He's going to sit back, be more base like Patricia, keep it in front of you, read your keys, study your things, study all your opponents. We're going to be one line, all in one line. Or are we just going to lay our ears back and go get people, move people around like they did this year? I want them to continue to have that evolve. I want them to be able to move around in the front. I think when you move around in the front, it makes the quarterback feeling easy. It makes the center feeling easy. I never understood why you just line up 7 yards deep at the two backers. Okay, there's a 3-4. He's shaded here. Jesus, when you got people moving in, who's got her hand down? Which guy's the mic? Then you're looking at the sideline. Well, you told me all week. 34 was the mic. Now he doesn't look like 34. Maybe it's 24. Now you got to adjust that in the sideline. Then you do it again next series. Back, forth, snip and snap. That's how you confuse people in game. Don't sit there base cover two. Let people pick you apart. Like, that's easy to read. Veteran quarterbacks will kill you.
Joe is in Quincy on Trent Brown. Joe.
Yeah, guys. Look, I think this is ridiculous. 2 years in a row, the Patriots lose the left tackle, and they make him the highest paid tackle in the league. It's all because of Dante Schenectady and Belichick.
Well, if Schenectady didn't do that, what's your brother Charlie think?
What are you talking about?
I thought you had a brother Charlie.
No, I ain't got a brother Charlie, but I do have a brother Brian.
Oh. You talked to Brian about it?
No, I ain't talked to Brian about it. You guys know Brian? He called in?
No, you sound like you got
How old is Brian?
There's another.
Brian's 57. I'm 42.
Another fella from Quincy that's got a brother Charlie. He sounds just like you.
Just like you, man. Oh. Sorry.
Well, that's not that unique, I guess, but okay.
Well, mistaken identity. Our apologies.
My fault.
Don't worry about it. I don't care. What's your problem with Dante Schenectady?
Yeah.
So you're upset that they let Trent Brown walk?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. I think that's the genius of Belichick. He traded a third and a fifth for the guy, and then got a third back in compensatorial for Brown. So he, in essence, traded him for a fifth. I just think it's amazing what Dante Schenectady does with these players 2 years in a row.
You've been to Schenectady, New York.
We're getting punked.
Joe in Quincy sounds like Rich in Quincy. Rich
My brother Charlie said it perfectly.
Sounds like him, but they're different guys.
I hear stuff. I don't mess up that stuff.
I got a memory like, as soon as I heard him, I go, Jim, what's his brother's name?
Where's my brother Charlie?
And Jim knew. He goes, oh, it's his brother Charlie.
It's his brother Charlie. Says,
buried in that information is there's a 57-year-old named Brian. I feel like most Brians on the planet are under the age
of
like 49.
It's not like no skin off his back.
I don't think it's his brother Brian. I do. Brian Dennehy's maybe the only one.
Give me his brother Brian Dennehy.
Don't pull a Shaughnessy here.
Hold on. There's no old guys named Brian.
No old guys named Brian.
There aren't.
Nobody's named Brian in Quincy.
What?
My brother Charlie said it perfectly. No, I ain't got a brother Charlie, but...
He even rolls off the tongue to say, not a brother Charlie.
Give me a Dante Schenectady, please.
Yeah. I was in Schenectady, right. New York.
Twice in a row.
Julius Lettelman.
That's him.
I'm sorry. We're fine.
You ain't messing
Before
with us.
Before we go to takeaways, you guys want one more signing?
Yeah.
Yes.
You ever heard a linebacker named Quan Alexander?
Yes.
I have.
There's a Quans in Attleboro.
K-W-O-N. Quan Alexander.
Quan. Wasn't the thing that they had in Jerry Maguire, wasn't that Quan?
Quan.
The Quan?
The Quan.
49ers signed him. 4 years, $54
million. Oh, my God.
Who?
Oh, my God.
Quan Alexander.
From where?
Get your head out of your ass. He's good.
From where? Name
He's
the team.
He's a $50 million player. Name the team 49ers.
I remember Eric 27 Alexander.
27 guaranteed.
I remember Eric what? Alexander here.
What?
I remember Jason Alexander in Seinfeld.
How are we?
Quan Alexander, I'm not as familiar
How are we spelling Quan?
K-W-O-N.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, time now for today's takeaways brought to you by Wakeham 180 Weight Loss. If your doctor says, hey, Chubbs, time to lose some weight, do yourself a favor. Get to Wakeham 180 Weight Loss. Five locations are online at Wakeham180WeightLoss.com.
What do we got?
Great question.
I'll start.
What do we got?
I was thinking.
I'll start.
Okay,
I'll
go.
Talking about the plane ride out there, they were playing card games.
Yeah. Boo-ray.
Right.
And oh, yeah.
Got us into a discussion of games.
Yeah.
Started with Uno, but Zoe gave us some good information during this.
But if this team wins, he has to be a part of it. Al Horford has to continue to be a part of it. And, of course, Kyrie Irving has to be numero uno on this team. Pun intended. A lot of Uno games being played on that flight. A lot of Uno.
I think adults played that game.
Yeah, well, they do. They apparently do.
I mean, I play it with the kids, but I don't play it with my buddies.
We don't play Uno. We play Skip-Bo. You play any Skip-Bo in
What's
your
that? Skip-Bo's good, too, yeah.
What's Skip-Bo's that? Good.
You play Apples to Apples?
It's 90%.
That's great.
Apples to Apples.
With kids, that's great.
Oh, it's awesome. That's like a holiday game. I like Jenga. I like Trouble.
Hungry, Hungry Hippo?
Nope. Nope. Over that.
Operation?
Operation sucks. Like, tell me one person that's got the bone out.
Well, some of you can get out. The rib is next to impossible.
The wishbone, too.
Wishbones. They're all tough.
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 Hardy.
The wacky doctor's game. Take out a spare rib for $200. Oh, you'll never do that. Don't touch the side. Butter fingers.
I think really this should be Hardy's takeaway as well, but it's the audio from the woman who was attacked by a jaguar.
Oh,
great.
Thank
at
you.
At a Phoenix
Thank
area
you.
Zoo over
Thank
the weekend.
You.
This happened on Saturday.
We're just going to hear
the only way we got it to release was by stuck a water bottle in the water.
Here, I got some.
Anybody keep an ASAP over here, please?
I got anybody. Call Deb. Right, anybody.
Call Deb, for sure.
All right, you guys got a band?
Yeah.
You guys have
to go. Oh, my God.
What hurts more, the jaguar bite or that dinner plate sized tramp stamp she got on her back, which you can see when she's rolling over?
What a moron.
Onto her right flank.
Moron.
I said earlier, what is that sound? Hardy goes, that is the sound of stupidity.
See, there's people.
Let me reach into the jaguar cage.
So it ends
to
up
get a picture.
It ends up being like a seven inch gash on her left forearm. It's like the nothing but wound. I've been maimed before, like a hand. Like I go the other way.
Oh. You've been maimed.
Like
I've been maimed.
Like when you have injury to yourself. Sure. Like when I cut my hand in that garage door.
It's maimed.
I go deathly quiet, like out of shock. Yeah.
Right, she's that's not the sound of shock.
Sounds like somebody's tickling her.
No, that's someone who won't shut up.
She's being dramatic.
Could you imagine sitting next to her at the lunch place there at the zoo?
They don't have quinoa. I wanted quinoa, but I did.
No, it's like go Jaguar at that point.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I absolutely root for the Jaguar.
Everyone's team Jaguar.
Everybody's team Jaguar.
The dummy's like, watch me go swim with the sharks. You know, I'm gonna be funny here and I'm gonna swim with them and hang
Jaguar.
Out.
Jaguar.
Yeah. We decided it's Jaguar.
Yeah, Jaguar.
Game time.
Reaching in the Jaguar pen, right. You deserve it.
Absolutely.
Right. You're lucky the Jaguar decided not to do more damage to you.
You said what, a Jaguar?
That was like a warning shot.
You
right
said
there.
A Jaguar escaped from a zoo for like an hour and it killed like
overnight in New Orleans last year. It killed a bunch of animals, including some alpacas, an emu
Cats gotta eat.
Yeah. Just went through the zoo.
Oh yeah,
crushing all that prey.
It's like at Jurassic World, but one dinosaur that they made manufactured.
They're gonna make it. They say they can make another one in 5 years. Did you see that? They'll be able to make a dinosaur in 5 years.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum retweeted
no.
it. Would he lie?
That's like bringing back the woolly mammoth. They have to have it be partial elephant. I believe it can't be straight woolly mammoth.
You'll see.
Get back
on,
tomorrow.
Get
at
on
10.
The side of the dinosaurs now. They're just like the robots are Felker coming back.
And Maz are next.
It's all because of Dante Schenectady. Julius Lettelman. No, I ain't got a brother Charlie, but...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.